Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. If there's one thing New Zealand music's done well these past few years, it's good-looking female singer-songwriters. From Beck Ronger to Anika Moore to Brooke Fraser. Anyway, move over all of them. This week sees the release of the debut album from Anna Coddington. Anna's no musical newbie, with years spent in alt-pop bands Handsome Jeffrey and Duchess. But a new album, The Lake, sees her out on her own. Well, with the help of some very talented musicians. It's the start of Matariki.
Yes, it is.
And it's also the start of a new Anna Coddington, a solo Anna Coddington, if we can call her that.
Yeah, you can. A lot of people have been calling her that. Myself, I don't feel that much different. I feel like I'm sort of doing what I've always been doing, which is playing music with people that I like, people that I get along with, people that I share ideas with. So, but yeah, I guess because it's coming out under my name now instead of under a band name, it's, you know, like it's makes me a solo artist. Yeah.
Your name seems to be everywhere. I mean, at the moment, I've seen posters in the streets and ads on the radio.
Really? Oh, that's good, because I haven't seen any posters in the street. I've been looking out for them.
Do you get a sense? I mean, because you've been in bands for a long time, since Handsome Jeffrey, yeah. Which you started at high school. Was that at high school?
That's right, yeah.
And then Duchess. And does it feel for you that something's just clicked now and suddenly everyone's going, hang on, Anna Coddington?
It feels the same to me because, I don't know, because, you know, like I do the interviews and stuff, but I very rarely watch TV or listen to the radio, so I never, you know, I don't know what it's like for other people to hear it. Mind you, the other night I heard BFM giving away a ticket to my Auckland show, and that was quite strange. I was like, oh, shit, they're giving away a ticket to my show. But so it's little things like that I catch and go, oh, weird, that's my show, and someone's winning a ticket to it, and it's weird. But, the overall sort of impression of what it's like, I don't know. I just, I'm just living in a little bubble and just being really busy organising the tour and everything, so, yeah.
If take it from me that, say, for example, your time has come now and your star is really starting to shine, just take it from me.
Thank you.
Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think after all these years? Because how long has it been since Handsome Jeffrey started this?
It's been over 10 years. Yeah, Handsome Jeffrey started in 97 when I was about 16. Yeah, so it's been a long time. But I can tell you what it is, and it's the fact that I, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I actually made the conscious decision to throw myself 100% into music. And before that, I always loved music, and I've always played music, and I always will, never stop. But before that, I was studying full time, and, you know, or I was working, you know, part time or full time, and doing music on the side. But and then I spent a couple of years as a backing singer, which was really great. But after, you know, a year and a half, 2 years of that, I just went, oh, this is never going to be as satisfying as playing my own music. So that's what it is, just deciding to throw myself into that with gay abandon and go, that's all I'm going to do now.
We have to explain to people that they're sound checking in the back for your gig tonight.
Yes.
Because not only has the album, The Lake, just come out, but you're in launching on a fairly extensive New Zealand-wide tour. I mean, a lot of bands these days, it's not worth their while doing a New Zealand-wide tour. They tend to do Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin. I mean, you've got how many dates? About 12?
It's 15. 15. Hopefully 16. There's hopefully one more that's going to come through. It's worth your while. It's worth everybody's while to do those other shows, you know, like play in between, go to the other towns, people that, you know, they really appreciate it, hearing some music. I come from a small town, so, you know, there wasn't a lot of music going through there, and when there was, it's like, woo, you know?
I mean, because you're, for example, tonight you're playing in a town called Thames.
Thames, yeah. It's actually pronounced Thames.
Oh, okay. And so you go to those, you do those gigs, and you do get a great response.
Yeah, generally speaking, yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes it's the last tour I went on, which was at the end of last year. I was playing support for Tim Guy for his album release tour for Hummerbys. And the best gigs were in smaller towns, like in some of the main centre gigs, they were fizzes, you know, because they're just spoilt for choice in the centres and stuff.
I've heard some artists say it's just not financially worthwhile going on those sort of tours. I mean, once you drag a band around, I mean, how many in your band?
There's myself and three others in the band. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Like, it is... some of the smaller ones I'm doing by myself because, yeah, you can't sort of get enough money from them to pay a whole band and, you know, house a whole band, transport a whole band, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, it's still worth doing it, you know.
As much as your name is at the top of the masthead for this album, the top of the poster, the top of the bill, your dirty little secret is that you've actually got some pretty amazing musicians, both on the album and on the tour, for the most part.
Yeah, dirty secret. yeah, no, they're amazing, and no, I make no secret of it. I brag about it every chance I get. Yeah, they're really great.
Tell me who they are.
Ricky Gooch, he just walked past, he's playing the drums, and he's played for heaps of amazing people. At the moment, he's playing for Beck Grunge and Fat Furious Drop as well. But he was one of the members of Trinity Roots when they were playing. And a bunch of others he's played for as well. On guitar is Ned Ngatai, who at the moment is also playing for Holly Smith and has played for, like, everyone. He's in Flash
everyone.
As well.
Everyone's seen Ned around town.
Yeah, yeah. And on bass is Chip Matthews, who plays for the Open Souls and also plays in a Nicklemore's band.
And he's been playing jazz bass since you must have been, I don't know, since before you were
knee high to a grasshopper. he's amazing. In fact, I think he used to play in New Loungehead, I think, who I remember when I was like 15, 16. I just thought they were amazing. And I saw them play at Sweetwaters and I was just totally like, wow, that's so amazing. I could never be friends with people like that. And
how much influence do they have on the album, on the songs, on the
band?
Yeah.
Oh, heaps, eh? Because, the songs were finished. The songs, as they are on the album, in terms of lyrics, melody, song structure, you know, that's how they were when we went in there. but when we had rehearsals, they all brought their own, flavour to the party. They all, did their own parts and stuff, obviously. Because they're all so amazing and have such great taste and feel and stuff, you know, that all is massive, massive part of the album.
Did any of them have the chutzpah to say to you, look, this chorus just ain't what it should be, or, you know, that verse, that sucks?
No. Nah.
So they did sort of bow to your songwriting a bit?
I don't know. I just don't think any of them felt that way about any of the songs. Yeah.
They're just that good.
Yeah. I'm sure they would have said so if they thought so. Yeah. But my songs are pretty amazing. So no, I'm just kidding. We worked them up together to be each song really great, I think. And that was a team effort, yeah.
Tell me, how much, because we've just done an interview about Matariki, tell me how much being part Māori has an influence on your music. I mean, someone like Tiki Tāne really wears his mana quite openly.
Yeah, I'm not so much down that road of wearing it so overtly. Not that I have anything against that, but for me, it's definitely a big influence, definitely in my life and in my music. But a lot of people have the same story as me in my generation, which is that, especially the language, like Te Reo Māori was, cut off at our parents' generation. So I would love to be able to speak Māori fluently and write songs and sing in Māori and stuff like that. But because my koro was punished for speaking Māori at school, he didn't teach it to my mum, so she can't speak it, so I can't speak it, kind of thing. So in that way, you know, I can't express it through language, although I am learning to speak Māori. But I think it's more a worldview kind of thing, like the way I was brought up, the way I see the land, the world and people and stuff like that. It's quite hard to put into words, but it's definitely there, yeah.
Yeah. You grew up in Raglan.
Yes, I did.
Tell me about that.
It's a beautiful little beach town, and it's been developing a lot since I grew up there. And, heaps more people there now. There's even two roundabouts in the middle of town. Still no traffic lights, but there's two big roundabouts. So it's getting pretty flash these days. It's great.
Do you still have ties there?
Yeah, my mum and dad still live there, and I still get down there as often as I can. A lot of my friends and stuff still live there. And, I love it there. It's beautiful.
You went to Hamilton Girls High School.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. and then you moved to Auckland.
Yes.
Are you a city girl, or are you still a sort of country girl at heart?
I don't really think of Raglan as the country, but I'm a small town girl, definitely. Yeah.
Do you think you'll retire to Raglan?
I do, yeah. Part of me really thinks that I will, in all seriousness, yeah.
Off the back of the success of this album?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, at the age of 27, yes, I'll be retiring. Yeah, at the end of the year.
With amazing musicians like the ones you have, I mean, how much do the songs change when you perform them live?
A bit, eh? Like, oh, we recorded the album quite live, so from the album, they don't change heaps. It's just, I mean, watching music live is just a different experience. It's more intense and more magical in a way, you know. So yeah, I guess just in that way, but yeah, sort of more full on, but in a good way.
One sort of fairly well-known singer-songwriter I know wasn't quite prepared when she became quite well-known for being a bit of a hottie. Is this something you're prepared for?
No, I'm not a hottie, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Are you prepared for that, though? I mean, you know, to take the jump and to be looked at and as being, you know, there is this very attractive young lady singing songs to us and being, you know, being voted for in polls as to who is TV Guide's sexiest female singer, that sort of stuff. Are you ready for that?
In all honesty, I don't give a shit about stuff like that. I just don't. If people want to do that, you know, I can't do anything about it, but I'm not interested in it, and I won't be reading those polls.
What are you doing once this tour winds through? It's going to take you a few weeks. What are you doing when that winds
up? Yeah, a few weeks. Actually, I have a couple of weeks off. Do some exercise and
get all that touring out of your system.
Yeah, detox, relax. And I'm actually going on tour again with Anik Moa. Yeah, I'm going to be going on her tour playing support for her. So, yeah, another 16 shows or something.
Wow, this doesn't stop.
I don't want it to. I love it.
That's Anna Connington. Right, that's it for the show once again. If there's something you'd like to hear again or you missed or whatever, www.publicaddress.net/radio. I'm Damien Christie.
And I'm Russell Brown. Thanks to New Zealand On Air. And we'll leave you with the sound of Anna Connington, Hold You Here. You are the thing that the only